Okay, we are starting our series on Proverbs called Making Life Work. And we will be looking at Proverbs 8. Proverbs is kind of an interesting book. It's a bunch of little chunks. And so we're going to look at this book differently than we have others. Normally when we preach through a book, we just kind of start at verse 1-1 and we go all the way through. But this book, we're going to look more on a thematic section kind of type thing. And so today we're going to look at Proverbs 8. Now, you may wonder why we're starting with Proverbs 8. Well, verses or chapters 1 through 9 are all kind of an introduction, and 8 is kind of the crowning part of it. So we're going to look at chapter 8 today. We're going to read through the entire thing. And next week we will look at actually probably Proverbs 1, and we're going to look at how do we train in righteousness. So the questions that we're going to ask today is, what is wisdom and why is it important? And next week we'll look at how can we grow in it. And then after that we'll be looking at specific topics. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles, I think it's page 445. If you can find Proverbs 8 and read along, that'd be great. It says this: Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. Listen, for I am worthy. I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true. For my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and direction. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. By me kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me princes govern and all nobles who rule on the earth. I love those who love me and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. Yet what I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the path of right, in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice. Bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasures full. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there was no oceans, I was given birth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizons on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, delighting in mankind. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. Whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me finds harm himself. All who hate me love death. May surprise you, but when I was in junior high, I was a mathlete. Yes, there is something called a mathlete. Basically, what a mathlete is it meant that I was on a team of a math quiz bowl team, and I actually went to competitions and competed on my knowledge of math. I don't have it with me. I think my parents have it stored someplace, but I have a right triangle trophy that I got third place in some math competition. They actually have these things. Had they had t-shirts like this, I might have had one just because there's a good sense of humor here. But yes, there is something called a mathlete. Well, one year, one of the girls named Sonia was really getting on my nerves. There was three or four of us who were on the team. We had to train for multiple years. Her dad was the coach, and she was by far the smartest girl on the team. Her dad was the math professor at the local Christian college, and she knew her math. She was number one all the time. She also was a little snarky and had to remind us all the time that she got the first place big sign trophy and we got third and below. And so she just started to kind of get on my nerves a little bit. Now, being a little bit of the punk junior high schooler that I was, I didn't always handle that the best. And so I would just decided I was going to stick it to her a little bit. Now, Sonia was really, really wicked smart, but Sonia lacked a little common sense, okay? I mean, she had absolutely no clue what any kind of pop culture was or anything about movies. She really didn't know how people worked. And so Sonia often would put her foot in her mouth. And I decided that it was going to be my job to stick it to her every time she did. So when she confused MC Hammer's Can't Touch This with Vanilla Ice's Ice Baby, I stuck it to her. And I had a code line that I would use all the time that I could just push her buttons, and it was this. Sonia, how can you be so smart and yet so stupid? So she would make some comment about somebody or some socially awkward thing and not really be up to date on the hippest technology or, you know, who was hot that day for music or movies or something like that. And I would say, Sonia, how can you be so smart and yet so stupid? It was a phrase that I used as often as I could, and I literally would use it at least three or four times a session because I needed to prove to her that, yes, you may be book smart, but that doesn't mean that you're really smart or wise. Well, I used it a little too much. Tears got involved, parents got called, and that was the end of it, okay? But I start with that story because I want us to realize that there is this difference between book smart and wisdom, right? I mean, we have things like EQ, emotional intelligence now. We have things like street smarts or common sense. I mean, we all probably know people like Sonia, people who are like the most brilliant people we know, have maybe multiple PhDs, but if it wasn't for their GPS unit on their phone, they would have absolutely no clue how to even make it to church this morning, right? I mean, they can design circuit boards that have all these different diagrams, but for them to read a map is really complicated. They can get lost at a moment's notice. We have those people who can speak all kinds of foreign languages, but when it comes to actually communicating with humans, they're as awkward can be. That's just the reality of it. Well, I want us to realize that because sometimes we can think when we hear the word wisdom that all it is knowledge. And the reality is that we have a ton of knowledge at our fingertips today, right? I mean, if I need to know some fact about some 80s song that I have forgotten, all I need to do is hold up my iPhone and say, Siri, look this up on the internet and she'll look it up for me. I have knowledge at my fingertips and I can get that as much as I need. But what we lack is true wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is written to help us understand what wisdom is. And so it's important for us as we look at this series to think about what wisdom is and why it's important. And so we're going to start there today. There's been road construction at my house on 10th Avenue, and when I left in June, I was pretty excited. It started in June, and when we left on vacation in July, I was pretty excited because I thought we were going to be gone for a week and we would be able to miss it all. Well, it's now September, and they're just finally putting the final touches on it. You see, what I saw was them working really hard at creating the foundation and destroying the old. And I thought that they could build the new rather quickly. But sometimes things take time. When you start from the beginning, you need to start at the proper foundation. And so before we move on today, I want you to start to think about what is your life's foundation? What is it that you base your entire existence on? Maybe you could think of it this way. what is the one or two things that you think are so important that you're willing to do almost anything and everything you can do to get it? It could be your family. And you could say, as long as I have kids, or if I have them and there's peace in our family, then my foundation is secure. It could be a dating relationship or marriage. You could say, as long as I have somebody, as long as I got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or there's somebody in my life that I'm married to, then my life will be complete and I will have everything I need. My foundation will feel secure. It could be fame or popularity. Now, you know, not all of us really think we're going to be the rock star anymore. Some of us, maybe, we like to have our inner karaoke and think we still might be a pop star. But the majority of us realize that we aren't going to hit fame and fortune. But at the same time, we might want to be the cool guy at work, or the guy who everybody likes. And we may want to be the have peace in our family and be able to have those relationships. And as long as our relationships are okay, as long as we're the popular one in school, or at least have a lot of friends, we can feel like our life is okay. Maybe it could be finances. You know, we could say, if only I get a better job, or if I have a little bit more money in my bank account, then my foundation will be secure and I will feel like life is okay. It could be things. I mean, it could be, as long as I got the technology, then life feels okay and I feel like my foundation is secure. It could be power and control. You know, there's so many things outside of our control. So as long as our life seems less complicated and is within everything, fits everything in its nice structure, then we can feel like life is okay. I ask you this because the reality is I think a lot of us build our life and we don't even think of the foundation. We would hate to think about living in a home without a solid foundation. And that's why we get home inspectors to kind of look at those things. But when it comes to our life and the way that we structure it and the house that we create for ourselves, we don't always think about what we base it on. And the book of Proverbs is going to challenge us. This verse challenges us to make wisdom our life's foundation. That is what this book and this chapter is all about. Now, I don't know what your reaction was when we read this chapter. It's different than pretty much any other passage we've looked at in our time here at Crossway Church. I mean, we've looked at Ecclesiastes, we've looked at Psalms, we've looked at even Galatians and the Gospels. But this has a different feel to it. You see, Proverbs, even though it's wisdom, is poetry. And if you notice, in Proverbs 8 is actually a personification of wisdom. If you look at it, some Bibles may even say that this is the song of Lady Wisdom. And it may seem kind of weird to you. I mean, she's talking to us like we're supposed to engage with her. So as you read through Proverbs and the first couple of chapters of Proverbs, and even as you look at this verse, I want to give you an image to think of. You know, we're pretty used to things being personified. If you've watched TV at all over the last couple of years, you'll notice that Apple and Microsoft are going around having these different ad wars, okay? If you remember this is 2 years old now. Yeah, these guys weren't, this isn't modern. I mean, this is already 2 years dated. But if you look at it, you'll notice that these guys are personifying the Apple and the PC. This is the Apple guy, if you forget. This is the PC guy. And this whole string of ads was showing, hey, look, Apple is this hip, sleek guy, and PC is this old guy who wears a ugly Christmas sweater, right? And I mean, there is a string of about 20 ads, it feels like. Every time they'd go back and forth, and the PC guy was trying to be hip and cool like the Apple guy, and he just seemed a little bit outdated. Today, if you watch this, these are some of my favorite ads right now. They're actually making me almost think about ditching my iPad next time I upgrade. I'll at least consider a Microsoft Surface. But right now, there's this ad that goes back and forth. And Siri, the Apple one, has this whole conversation with this tablet. You know, it starts off where she says, uh-oh, you know, and then they flip up the kickstand and she goes, oh, can you help me? I can't do that on my own. And she's personifying herself, and there's this voice to show how she doesn't quite measure up to the Microsoft tablet. She doesn't have a USB tablet, and she goes, sorry, I don't have a spot for that. And then at the end, when they know, after they do all these different things, she says, I know this isn't going to end well. And they show the price, which is about $150 cheaper for the Microsoft Surface than the Apple. So we're used to this kind of personification. And when you read the book of Proverbs, I want you to think about this. Because in these opening chapters, there is exactly this kind of debate going on. There is a debate between lady wisdom and foolishness. Now, we're not going to look at the chapters on foolishness, but I want you to realize that what lady wisdom is trying to do in this chapter is like the ads here are trying to do. She's trying to convince you to listen to wisdom and to make it your life foundation. And there's some reasons in this passage that she's talking about on why it's so important. But before we look at that, I want you to notice one thing, and that is this. In verses 4-6, we all need wisdom. A lot of times we think, well, it's only those foolish people. Well, in verse 4, she says, I call out to men. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, those who are naive, hey, you need prudence. And you who are foolish, you need understanding. But I have worthy things to say, and I open my lips to speak to what is right. And notice it's to all mankind. So whether you feel like life is going really good and you think I got it all figured out, or whether you come here to church this morning and you have this ache inside of you that says, I got some stuff going on that I don't know really how to deal with and I need wisdom. Lady Wisdom is telling us this. You need her more than what you recognize. And she's calling out to you to make her your foundation in life. Well, there's reasons for that, and there's three of them that we see in this passage. The first is that we see that she speaks truth into our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm getting very sick of all the kind of BS and the lies that just float around in our world. I mean, politicians are lying. I saw there's some dude driving around Vancouver with a sign that some politician is a liar, liar, and don't vote for him. I mean, you just got to listen to different stories and know that there is just so many right now with budget stuff. There's so many lies about what they're going to accomplish, and we can feel like that's what fills the air. Maybe it's not just politicians. I mean, we have people in our family that can lie and can kind of spread half truths. And maybe that's what you're dealing with right now. Like the people in your family aren't being honest. We can have it at work where somebody will say they're going to do something and they don't. Corporations inflate their bottom lines to get us to invest in them. And people can present themselves better online just for us to date them if you're into the dating game. I mean, lies are so much around us. But Lady Wisdom wants us to recognize that she's an important foundation because she speaks the truth into our lives. She says, my mouth speaks with truth in verse 7, for my lips detest wickedness. And all the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To the discerning, all of them are right. But there's another reason why we need to think about wisdom and why it should be our foundation. And that is this, that it's so valuable because it protects us. If you look at verses 10 and 11 and 17, you'll notice that she says, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me, says verse 17. And 18 says, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold, yet I surpass choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the path of justice, bestowing wealth to all those who love me and make their treasuries full. Now, what is it about wisdom that makes it better than gold? I think if most people were given a choice, if you want wisdom or money, they'd probably take the money, right? I mean, they probably say, hey, if I got another $1 million in my bank account, if I win the lottery, life would be perfect. I just saw an article about the guy who looks like the Duck Dynasty dude who won in the big jackpot in New Jersey. And he was interviewed on the Today Show, and he said, money is ruining my life. I won the jackpot. And before it, I had a simple life with a simple house and things seemed okay. And now all of a sudden I'm this big winner TV star and it just ain't quite cutting it. And what that says is that money or things may not be quite as foundational as what we think. But then there's other people that it doesn't really change. They can go through the most difficult circumstances and they can have joy. And what wisdom wants us to see is that when you have wisdom as your foundation, you can get through the good times and the bad. And it equips you to see that both are okay. That one thing isn't necessarily better than the other. And that's why it's better than gold or silver. It can protect us from ourselves. But there's a third reason why wisdom needs to be the foundation of our life. And that is this. Wisdom is an intricate part of creation. Now, this may seem kind of weird, but actually, if you look at like verses 23 through 31, she goes over and over about how before God created the world, she was there, and how even before the seas were formed and the mountains were formed and all of this stuff, wisdom was there. And what we need to realize is that there is a fabric in our world, that the world works in such a ways, and that wisdom is crucial to it. And if we don't understand what wisdom is, then we don't understand really the way the world works. And that's why she needs to be foundation to our lives. I mean, she goes on and on about all these different things. But the more we can be in tune to the wisdom that's in this created world, the more our lives will be in rhythm with it. Yesterday, I went to a birthday party with my daughter. Steph and Annika went down the street to our neighbor's house to go to the party earlier. Amelia was sleeping and I had to work on my sermon. And so Amelia woke up from the nap and we started walking down. And as we're walking down the block, literally a block away, I can hear this. I couldn't like make what the noise was, but I could just tell that something was really out of whack. There was like this dissonance. It was so bad that it hurt your ears and you couldn't really tell what it was. Well, what it was a 2-year-old trying to sing karaoke and she was totally out of whack with the music. I mean, completely off key. Cutest thing ever to the eyes, horrendous to the ears, okay? I mean, if you could take a photo of it, it was awesome. She's dancing and singing, but to your ears, there was this dissonance. And when we live unwise lives, we're in that dissonance. We can feel it. We can sense it. We may not be able to articulate why it's there, but what Lady Wisdom says is that when we live unwise lives, we're living in dissonance with the world that God created. And so if we're going to grow and if we're going to develop, we need to get in tune with the wisdom because it's an intricate part of creation. Now you may say, okay, that's great. So wisdom should be the foundation, but you still haven't talked about what wisdom is. Well, Lady Wisdom kind of defines herself and what she is in verses 12 through 16. And the first thing that we see is that she is sound judgment. There are different facets to wisdom. Like I said, it's not just knowledge. It's something more than that. True wisdom has a deeper understanding of how things work. The Hebrew word is bana. What it means is that you just understand how things work. Now, some of us think we have physical bana, okay? Some of us think that, guys especially, and I'm one of them, we think that we can put things together without instructions, right? I mean, I got this thing figured out. This IKEA cabinet can't be that complicated. So we don't bother to bring out the instructions and we start to put it together. Some of us find out that we actually have this kind of bana, and some of us have extra parts and wonder what they're supposed to do, right? And we realize maybe we're not quite as wise as what we think. There's also people that are really good with people. They just understand how things work. They understand, like, we need to have conflict, and when conflict happens, well, this is how we can kind of work things out. They're called the State Department and the government. And that's their job. They can just kind of, they know how people work and how to kind of make things tick. And so, if you got somebody in your office who's really hard to work with, they can work with them because they just know how to work in their system. They have that kind of bana. They know how things really work. But there's another kind of a level or facet to it. It's knowing how things really are. And we see this in verse 12. It says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. Now, I'm a former engineer, so my vocabulary isn't huge. But prudence isn't exactly a word I use very often. Matter of fact, if somebody would call me prudent, I'd probably say, what are you telling me? Am I a prude? That's not what prudence is. prudence, at least that's not the concept that the author of Ecclesiastes is trying to get to. When you think of prudence, I want you to think of Sherlock Holmes. It's the ability to understand how things really are. You know, Sherlock Holmes or Nancy Drew or the Hardy Boys, or you choose your favorite, your favorite detective story. When they walk into a room that you and I see just a complete mess or there's nothing there, they know how things really are. They have that prudence. They can see that that little thing is just out of whack a little bit and it shows that there's a struggle here. Or they can find a little piece of clothing that doesn't quite fit or a little lock of hair that's red, not brown. And because they know how things are, they can solve the mystery. Well, that's what wisdom is. It's not just knowing how things work. It's one thing to know how things work, but if you don't know what the current situation is, if you know how it works, it doesn't do you any good. But there's another level to wisdom, and that's this. Verse 15 and 16 talks about the doing. It's a deeper understanding of what to do at the right time about it. Let's be honest. A lot of times, especially in relationships, or especially even in business, we can do the right thing at the wrong time, and it will have absolutely devastating consequences. We can buy a house at the wrong time, and it will hurt us. We can switch jobs at the wrong time, and it can hurt us. I mean, we can make investments. I mean, you go across the board, knowing what to do about things is really it. But if we end there, we still haven't gained true wisdom. We may understand how the world works, but we don't really have the true foundation of our life. You see, true wisdom has a fourth component to it. True wisdom involves a knowledge of God. Verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance and evil behavior and perverse speech. And if we don't understand this aspect, if we don't understand the world in terms of God and how He works, then we may be able to design great circuits or cool things, but our life foundation isn't near as secure as what we think. And what I want you to realize is this whole chapter points us to something deeper. The book of Proverbs gives us only the first part of the story. It wants us to see that wisdom is personified. But wisdom is really complicated. It's not easy. It's not a set of rules. Matter of fact, if you look at the Bible, wisdom is most clearly articulated as a person. Matthew 12, verse 42 says that Jesus was wiser than Solomon. It says that He's greater than Solomon who is here. And if we want to know what true wisdom is, the Bible makes it absolutely clear that the ultimate example of wisdom is Jesus. Think about it. Jesus was prudent. He realized how things really were here on earth. He realized that no matter how wise we think we are, we're more foolish than we think. And our foolishness leads to sin, and sin creates a problem. He understood God. He understood that God was a God of love, but He's also a God, a holy God who has standards. And the only way that we could overcome this foolishness of sin is if something was done. And so He knew how things worked. He knew that we wouldn't be able to come to faith or be good enough on our own, so we took action. He came as a man. He died on a cross. He suffered the wrath that we've looked at over the last couple of weeks. He endured hell here on earth and rose again from the dead to show us and to reveal true wisdom from God to us. And if we really want to be able to incorporate wisdom into our lives, we need to realize that the foolishness of the cross that many think is foolishness is actually the true wisdom. It's the created kind of way and being of this earth. Jesus isn't a created being, but He was there in the very beginning, and He exemplifies wisdom deeper than we could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 makes this absolutely clear. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but those who are saved, it is the power of God. That's a pretty powerful statement. He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And then he says, through Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So what I want to challenge with you today is this. If you think you're wise and your wisdom has nothing to do with Jesus, then your life's foundation is not even close to being where it needs to be. But you also need to hear the power of what Scripture teaches us, and that's this. That if we're lacking wisdom, we can go to God and He will give it to us. Ephesians 1 says that it's through God's work where He says, praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, who chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. And it says this, in Him we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. It means if we have faith in Christ, we've got the good foundation in which to build wisdom. But if we don't, then our foundation is all out of whack. So let's wrap things up. No matter where you're at in life, we need wisdom. We need her to be the foundation of our life. Without it, our homes will look like that photo there, all out of whack and cave in. She can protect us and keep us from harm and danger. Doesn't mean that life's going to go well and that everything's perfect, but it does mean that she'll give us the grace that we need to endure each day. But if we think that wisdom is just a set of rules and regulations and an understanding of the world without God, then we're completely mistaken. See, wisdom was most clearly visible in Jesus. It's His actions on the cross that may seem foolish to many, but it teaches us that it's actually the wisest and most gracious thing that has ever been done. And if you want to be truly wise, then we need to pursue all of our wisdom through Him. The Bible tells us that He will be gracious and He will impart it to us. And we need to hang on that truth in those times when we wonder what wisdom it truly is. If we want to find wisdom, we need to find Jesus. It all starts there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that we have the opportunity to look at wisdom. Lord, I pray that as we look at wisdom and as we look at the different kind of themes that Proverbs has in different areas of our life, that You can help us to live the life that You've called us to, that You can help us to become wise people, that we can show the world the wisdom, not of us, but of You, that they can want to know what it is that allows us to live this way, and that they themselves will be drawn to You. Lord, if there's those of us in this room who haven't put their faith in You, Lord, I pray that You just draw their hearts, that You show them that if they truly want to be wise, that it all starts with You. And we ask this all in Your name. Amen.